2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, of course. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Peter writes, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise You for Your word. And we praise You, Lord, for the love that You have for all of mankind, and the desire, Lord, that everyone come to know You in salvation. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ our Savior, knowing that He is coming again, and looking forward to that day when we will meet Him in the air. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, in the text that we just read, Peter says that he writes to stir their minds. Now, that word stir, it means to wake up or to stimulate your thinking, to be aroused in the mind. And maybe this is a man thing. But do you ever just sit down and slip into neutral and zone out? Men, you got to be knowing what I'm talking about. Perhaps you're watching TV. You're just sitting there and your mind just absolutely stops and there's nothing there. There were several times that Beth and I have been sitting in the living room and I'm sitting there watching TV and she turned to me and said, "Did you hear that?" "What?" "Or did you see that?" They'll scroll things across the bottom and she'll say, "Did you see that?" "No, what?" And there's been several times I remember when the kids were at home, sitting on the couch or the chair, and Beth says, "Dad, will you take care of that?" And I'm like, "What?" And the kids are fighting over in the corner and I'm oblivious to it. Maybe it's a man thing. But it cannot be a Christian thing. That's what Peter is warning us against. It's so very easy to slip in to the mindset from one day to the next and never realize where we really are and what's going on around us. And that's why Peter says, "I'm writing to stir up your minds. Don't be oblivious to what's going on around you." What does he want us to see? Verse 2, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." He said, "Remember what we've told you." More specifically, that they're living in the last days. Now, if they're living in the last days, where does that leave us? And he starts pointing out to it. He said, in the last days, scoffers will come. People who mock and ridicule and make fun of. And they say things, you know, when we talk about Jesus is coming, they're like, well, that promise has always been there. Christians have said that for thousands of years. And where is he? He's not here yet. You know, we've come to the point that in today's culture, teachers and churches and preachers don't even speak about it anymore. And I've kind of been on a kick, okay? I can't preach a message without telling you Jesus is coming, but there's a reason for that. Because Jesus is coming. And we need to be aware of what's going on around us. And what's going on around us is not just, oh, you know, our society's just getting so bad. No, that's not what's happening. What's going on in the world today is an indication. It is a sign of where we are. For example, 2 Timothy 3:1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now, when we see those things, we think, oh man, our society has just gone to the dogs. When we should see those things as a, hey, Jesus is coming. It's a sign to declare. I mean, have you ever seen a time when men were more in love with themselves? When men were looking out more for themselves and there's no consideration for anyone else? Have you ever seen a time when men were more lovers of money? Have you ever seen a time when men would take the Lord's name in vain? I mean, the language of our society has gotten absolutely filthy. And if you're like me, you know, the first thought comes to my mind is, I'm offended. When the first thought that should come to my mind is, hey, we're living in the last days, it's pointing to Jesus coming back. But quite honestly, most of us think that it's not going to happen in our lifetime. Most churches do not think that this is really going to happen in my lifetime. And it's because we refuse to open our eyes and look and see where we are. I want to do a quick review, okay? Some things that we've covered in the last couple months. I think I've already told you all these things, but I'm just going to remind you, okay? Look for the signs. One sign that's very plain in today's culture is our economic system. In the near future, there will be a move to put all the world under one currency. We're all headed that direction. And the computer system is already in place for that to happen. Have you ever heard of Barchain? I think I mentioned that to you a few months ago. But it's a financial program, a computer worldwide financial program that they say is absolutely foolproof. It cannot be hacked and nobody could steal your identity. And it makes perfect sense. And it's sitting there all ready to go. We're just waiting on it. And then there's the computer currency. You ever heard of Bitcoin? It's already there. A cashless society. Spoiler alert. This computer system, you'll not be able to buy anything or sell anything outside of this computer system. Does it sound familiar yet? Read about it. Pull it up on your computer. Read about Barchain. It's there. Read about Bitcoin. And I don't quite understand Bitcoin. It's not really something that exists, but it does exist. It's a computer money. And you can buy it and sell it today. The last price that I saw for Bitcoin on the stock exchange was $9,125 for one Bitcoin. It's there. And all these things are happening, and people are closing their eyes. I believe very soon you'll see an economic reset that will usher us into that one world economic system. You say, Brother Doug, why is that going to happen? Have you noticed what's happening to the dollar? The dollar is being devalued. It's worth less and less and less. And we're coming to the point where, quite frankly, all the nations of the world are broke. And they have a debt that's impossible to pay back. Something's going to have to happen. What's going to happen? There's going to be an economic reset that will put us under this economic system that's already in place. The United States, you know, we're the world's worst. Have you ever looked at the debt clock? I can't even pronounce that number. Why are we saying it? I want you to understand that what's going on around us, it's not just, wow, look at how bad the world's getting. It's, look at the signs that's pointing to Jesus coming back. See, most people still think it's not going to happen in my lifetime. The economic thing that I just talked about, it's going to push us toward this one world government. We're all on the same financial page. Why don't we just all be under the same rule of one world government? But most people think it's not going to happen in our lifetime. But I promise you, that's what the elites want right here, right now, is a one world government. That's why we're trying to destroy our nation from the inside out. We talked about that last week. Do you realize? Don't you just hold this thought? That this could be the last time that Victory Missionary Baptist Church ever meets on this earth. That's how serious it's getting. Now, I'm not dumb, despite what Beth may say from time to time. I don't set dates, okay? I know that no man knows the hour, no man knows the day. But what I want you to understand is that everything's pointing to it. We indeed have got to be living in the last days. And look at verse 5. It says, for this they willfully forget. That word willfully, it means to desire or strongly desire. Want something strongly. People want to strongly dismiss that Jesus Christ is coming back. Why? Because if I really believe that Jesus is coming back, I've got to live like it. I've got to see the signs. I've got to consider that my heavenly home is more important than my home here and now. That my future is more important than perhaps what's going to happen to me next month or next year. But Peter reminds us. He said, you know, I'm trying to stir your minds, he's saying, so that you will see these things as they unfold. And not willfully or intentionally dismiss them. And he reminds us there in verse 5. I want to read that again. For this they willfully forget, they desire to forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? I believe it's a fact. We're here by the power of God and by the word of God, by the spoken word. He spoke us into existence. Verse 6. By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Do you believe the Genesis account of the flood, whereas man became so corrupt that God destroyed all of mankind and covered this earth with a flood? You believe that? Absolutely. We know it's true. That same God has said, Jesus is coming again. When Jesus left, He said, He told His disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself. He's coming. He's given us signs. He's told us what to look for. And the only thing that's standing between us and the rapture right now is in verse 8 and 9. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only thing between us and the rapture, for there are still souls to be saved. And I said that this morning, but I remind you of that this evening. I want to tell you something. You know, the more I look at it, the more excited I become. I really do. It doesn't scare me. The thought of Jesus coming back does not scare me. It excites me. The reason is because I know what's in store. And I don't know every detail of how it all plays out, but I know what's in store. I know that I'm going to go meet Jesus in the air. I know I'm going to receive my heavenly rewards. I know I'm going to see Jesus face to face. And I know He's prepared a place for me. And folks, when I think about the rapture, just back up and think about that. One moment you're here, the next moment you're gone, and in the presence of Jesus. The more I think about it, the more real it becomes. And the more excited I become. Peter writes, he writes this not to be a downer. He writes this to be an encouragement. Hey guys, Jesus is coming again. That faith that we're living on this earth is going to be worth it all. One of these days, we're going to see Jesus face to face. Can you smile about that? Can you say amen about that? Listen, I want to encourage you. Because I've heard people say, you know, man, it scares me, Brother Doug. If you're a child of God, don't let it scare you. He's not coming to bang you over the head He's coming to get you. Have you ever looked forward? You knew somebody was coming, and you looked forward to their arrival. You know, today when my kids called and they say we're coming home, we're coming to see y'all for a few days, or you know, we kind of get excited about that. When they say we're bringing the grandkids, we get really excited. Beth gets the house ready and we make it baby-proof and all that good stuff. And we look forward to when they come in the door and there's no sweeter word than when my grandbabies come in the door and yell, Pops! And grab me and hug me. I want to tell you something. There will be no sweeter scene than when Jesus comes to get His people. We won't run up to Him and say, Pops! But we'll bow in His presence. Let's be excited about that. Let's look forward to it. And let's live like we know Jesus is coming. Because He is. He is. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for the knowledge that you're coming back. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. I pray, Lord, for your return, for the rapture, for the day that we meet you in the air. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But I also pray for those who are lost, and I know that the delay is that there are still people who need to be saved. And Lord, if there is a person in this service tonight who's not ready to go, I pray that tonight will be the night you'll convict them of their sin. That you'll draw them to you. And that, Lord, they would call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand? We're going to have a verse of invitation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not have the assurance of knowing when Jesus comes back, you're going to be with Jesus. Will you come?
Sweet hour of prayer.
Will you come?
Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Be encouraged, because Jesus is coming to get his children. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our business meeting. I'll turn services over to Brother Greg. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us upon the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the encouragement that you're coming to get us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to proclaim your word. May we not forget the days in which we live. And may we make full use of every day that you give us in declaring the gospel to those to whom we come in contact with. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us in this business meeting, that you would guide our thoughts and our actions, that we do nothing apart from your direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.